The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Easter Monday edition. It is election eve here in the great state of Wisconsin. More importantly, our producer Rich would tell you, it's opening day eve. Brewers swept the Mets this weekend. Beat the Mets. They did it three times over. And we got the Twinkies tomorrow. Right, Rich? You're going to be gone.
Yes, I will. I'll be there 3:10 first pitch.
3:10 first pitch. Right, yeah, in the right. Middle of my show. Just sticking it to me, they are.
Well, I love you, but only so much.
Check your local listings, the Brewer game playing out in the four Civic Media markets that they play in, and I'll be playing in the rest. But it is a big Monday, and we've got a primary election here in this great state of Wisconsin tomorrow. And I got to start with a little story. I tuned into Righty Whitey Talk Radio this morning because I had to take my kid back to college. Apparently, you can't dump him off on Easter Sunday night, although he did want to go back last night. So I'm driving him to Edgewood, where he goes to college, and turn on the Dan O'Donnell show, Righty Whitey Talk Radio. And lo and behold, there's the former president of the United States doing local radio here in the great state of Wisconsin. And let's not forget, tomorrow, the presidential preference primary. But I thought it was over. You know, if Trump can't beat Nikki Haley in the state of Wisconsin by now, he's got some real problems. So Trump interviewed by Dan O'Donnell. And one of the interesting side notes is now that Dan has, you know, interviewed the former president, he thought, well, maybe I'll go see Trump tomorrow in Green Bay. In fact, he was pretty damn convinced he was going to go see Trump tomorrow in Green Bay, and he's going to take Mrs. Dan O'Donnell. And I'm thinking, I don't know that I would do that. With this man's history, I don't know that I would go take my wife to go meet the former president of the United States, even if I was trying to show off, be a big shot like Dan is. So, anywho's, Dan had Trump. And, you know, one of the key takeaways from this fine interview Dan did, mass deportations. Trump promised. He promised Dan. He promised his conservative Righty Whitey Talk Radio buddy, Dan O'Donnell, there will be mass deportations if I'm reelected. And I'm thinking, what about the internment camps? You didn't bring those up, Trump. But anyways, that was one of the points. You know, if that's what you're looking for, mass deportations, Trump just might be your guy. I would not take my wife to go meet him, though, Dan. Just, you know, man to man. I wouldn't do it. Access Hollywood tape. You've seen it. You know. You still support the guy. You still have the man on your program. And also, I should point out, trying to be a big shot myself, bragging a little bit, we got CNN in studio here. CNN, they're very curious about the voter sentiment here in the state of Wisconsin for Robert Kennedy Jr. And I realize this is the primary. He's not on the Democrat or Republican primary. Can't vote for him yet. But would you support this guy? Robert Kennedy Jr., would you support him in the fall? So while CNN's here, while they care, while I care, I'm going to give you the phone number, 844-967-2789. And here's what I think. I think you're too smart for this. I think we've learned this lesson here in the state of Wisconsin. 2016, what they tell us? Hillary's going to win. Our pal Charles Franklin, I spoke to him earlier. Marquette University Law School poll, extraordinaire pollster. And he told us, Hillary or bust. It's going to be Hillary. We all thought it was going to be Hillary. Trump thought it was going to be Hillary, especially here in the state of Wisconsin. But it was not Hillary. And I think so many of us had confidence. We'd been told so many times, it is inevitable. Hillary is going to be your president. I feel like we almost gave ourselves permission to go do something different. And I know most of you, most of my friends listening on the radio today, you would never have voted for Trump. Right? Right? Never would have voted for Trump. But what about that libertarian guy? What about Gary Johnson? He had over 100,000 votes in the state of Wisconsin in 2016. What about the Green Party candidate, Jill Stein? You remember, recount, they stuck it to Jill. Over $3 million the donors had to give up to do a recount. But Jill Stein garnered like 34,000 votes in the state of Wisconsin in 16. That was larger than Trump's margin of victory against Hillary Clinton. So is there a lesson to be learned? I freaking hope so. I hope we all learned our lesson. If you got to protest, you know, do the uncommitted, the none of the above thing. Do it tomorrow in the primary. If you can't vote for Joe at this point because you want to show some protest against Gaza or whatever the case may be, the primary is your turn for protest. That's your time. But come this fall, there's only one right answer. You got to vote for Joe. You got to vote for Joe. Or what? You're going to vote for Trump? You cannot tell me you're going to vote for Trump. But third-party candidacies, to my opinion, are an unacceptable answer in the 2024 election. Since we got an early innovator, let's take the caller, 844-967-2789. Specifically, the question, any appetite for Robert Kennedy Jr. this fall? Would you consider voting for a third party? Todd or Billy from the North Side? How we doing, Todd?
I'm doing great today. I was just thinking, you know, airfare's gotten, so expensive. And I think there might be people who are wondering, if Trump wins, how can I get on that mass deportation list and get the heck out of here?
If you have immigrant friends, if you work perhaps in rural Wisconsin in the dairy industry, you know, Todd or Billy, there's lots of people that are here that would qualify for his mass deportation plan, Trump's. Come on, man, this is you being sarcastic, right?
Yeah, I'm just saying that a lot of people would want to leave the country if Trump won again, regardless of their immigration status. They want to get the heck out of here for good reason. If that's who our country chooses, that's a bad sign, and I could see that could be the final straw for a lot of people who'd want to leave. But, yeah, I'm just joking around about getting on the mass deportation.
Todd or Billy, I've heard the threats before. I've made the threats before. If Trump is reelected, I'm leaving this nation. Would you go anywhere? Would you have the resources? Where would you go? Canada?
You know what? I mean, it really would affect my judgment on that call. I mean, it's something that I've thought about for various reasons for years. Living abroad would be interesting, something I'd be interested in, and that certainly would be a push towards wanting me to realize that life goal for sure.
Well, that would be the silverest cloud. The silverest lighting in that dark cloud. Todd or Billy, your phone's kind of loud today. I'm going to turn you off, buddy. The fact that it might inspire you to do a little traveling that you've been looking forward to your whole life. The second term of Trump. May I suggest that's not a good enough reason to travel internationally? I don't want to be forced to do so at the desire of the Trump administration. And I'd be a little nervous. I mean, you know, not just as a citizen, but specifically as the coolest talk radio host that you know, I'd be a little worried that I'd be a target here for a second Trump term, certainly from a few of the Trumpsters. But while it's fresh, Robert Kennedy Jr., do you have any appetite for a third-party candidate here in 2024? I'd like to hear from you, or shoot it to the text line, 844-967-2789. And going to start the day, unless you're dialing right now, going to start the day by talking about a little effort that happened over the weekend. Derek Van Orden, the insurrectionist third CD candidate, well, he's also the sitting congressman in the great state of Wisconsin. Over at CNN, Manu Raju reporting Derek Van Orden is done with Rep. Bob Good. And you might be thinking, who's Bob Good? Well, Good is the leader of the House Freedom Caucus and one of eight Republicans who voted to oust Kevin McCarthy from the speakership. And he has been the center of the internal GOP infighting that has left the party's agenda in tatters in their conferences, embroiled in a bitter civil war. Now, Van Orden has joined hands with a band of House Republicans angling to knock Good off in June. We'll come back to this thought. I asked for the phone calls. We'll take them now in the order they come at 844-967-2789. Joanne from Madison, welcome. Appetite for a third party?
Well, not just for a third party, but for a discussion. And if RFK had been let into the debates, if we would have had real Democratic debates, that could have been useful. We need to explore these policy issues and show where Biden has been so successful. A debate would have done that with RFK Jr. Also, those folks who are trying to look to RFK for an alternative on Israel, forget about it, because RFK is not pro-Palestinian in any real respect, except to, of course, to eliminate the possibility of genocide and all of that.
Joanne,
let me interrupt
you. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be rude, but while there's time, let me ask you. Should Robert Kennedy, if he has sufficient support, should he be allowed to debate against Biden and Trump? I mean, that bicameral presidential debate committee. What do you think about putting third parties in the national debate?
Certainly. I think that's a very important part of how we learn about these issues. And especially since we've got a lot of different angles on most of the policy issues that are out there. I think that RFK Jr. would be a lot more for health care. That would be government-sponsored Medicare for All and all that, and could be pushing those ideas and certainly showing some of the weaknesses. But I think that Biden's policies stand up, and that's what we need to see. I was very much for the Perot candidacy. I'm old enough to be a part of all of that because Perot just was able to bring up all of the concerns we had about the giant sucking sound of jobs going south and all of that.
Joanne, you make excellent points about Perot. I'm a little nervous about Robert Kennedy Jr. Come back, more Devil's Advocates. Brewers are cruddy, I hope.
Grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. I heard a rumor. I don't know if this is true or not, but the lead singer of the Village People was straight, yet all his colleagues on the band were not straight.
Well, I did hear that, but I will attest to the following, that I saw them at Summerfest two summers back, and he's the only original member left.
Yeah.
And he's had more than a share of Krispy Kreme donuts.
Oh.
So he just pretty much stands in place while all the young guys dance around and do their thing. But
yeah, yeah.
He was... Less, he was slacking.
More than a macho man these days. You know.
Yes.
The Village People double album. First vinyl record I ever owned.
Really?
Not of my own volition. Someone gave it to me as a gift.
Okay.
This was like 1978.
Was that the one with San Francisco Hollywood on it?
I don't know. It was just like a very visual multi-record thing. Okay. And it had Macho Man and YMCA and then the Navy.
It was the best of then. Okay.
Something like that. Right. I was younger then. Want to thank CNN for joining us in studio, and thank you for playing along. I got to tell you, I wanted to be more important in the story with CNN, the Robert Kennedy Jr. conversation. I just don't see the appetite for him. I'm just not hearing it. I haven't found a lot of support for this guy. And even those of us that sort of civically like the idea of a third party candidacy, and, you know, I'm not saying, Joanne, you're not being open-minded, but this is not the elective cycle to take on a Robert Kennedy Jr. I don't think he represents anything other than a wasted vote. Don't waste your vote. But I did want to get back to this congressman from the state of Wisconsin, who is now inserting himself in the politics all around the nation. And if you'd like to join us, you know, Rich, working today, Monday, opening day eve, he'll be at the Brewer game tomorrow, but 844-967-2789. Again, back to CNN's coverage. Dirk Van Orden is done with Rep. Bob Good. And Good, the leader of the House Freedom Caucus and one of eight Republicans who voted to oust Kevin McCarthy from the speakership, has been the center of internal GOP infighting that has left their party's agenda in tatters and their conference embroiled in a bitter civil war. Now Van Orden has joined hands with a band of House Republicans angling to knock Good off in June's primary by propping up his primary opponent, John McGuire, a tactic long viewed as a serious breach of protocol, but one that underscores the bad blood within the House GOP. Bob Good didn't come here to govern. He came here to be famous, said Van Orden, the Wisconsin Republican. Bob Good's wearing our jersey, but he's not on our team. Van Orden added, if you look at what we've been able to accomplish in this Congress, it's predominantly because of Bob Good and his ilk have not been able to accomplish. But Good is undeterred as he barnstormed through his district last week with fellow House GOP hardliners such as Matt Gaetz of Florida, Andy Biggs of Arizona, and Chip Roy of Texas. Good said voters in his district don't care what his colleagues from Wisconsin thinks. And he pointedly accused many of the Republican colleagues in Washington as casting votes that hurt the country and undermine the conservative cause. I'm just not sure why Derek Van Orden's in the middle of all this. They never heard of Derek Van Orden. They could care less what Derek Van Orden thinks, he said of his constituents, letter telling CNN that questions about his Republican colleagues turning against him are stupid. You come to these things and you ask questions that nobody here cares about. You bring up Derek Van Orden, which is a joke. Rhinos, establishment, moderates do nothing to influence Republican primary elections, Good added. Conservatives, courageous warriors like those endorsing me today and being here with me today are the ones who my constituents care about. So, Derek Van Orden, who's a freshman congressman from Wisconsin, is bemoaning what the head of the Freedom Caucus, which I thought you were sort of kind of a part of. But anyways, you know, Bob Good's no good for Virginia. So Derek Van Orden is inserting himself in a congressional Republican primary in the state of Virginia, where apparently they don't give a damn about Derek Van Orden. Back to CNN's reporting here. The toxic infighting that has dominated the House GOP majority and has now landed squarely in Good's conservative district in rural Virginia is part of the larger battle over the direction of the GOP. Well, I can tell you, the party's in disarray, I quote Dom. As many Republicans in Washington say that compromise and consensus with Democrats is a way to govern in a divided government, Good and his bloc of members excoriate such deal cuttings as they push their no compromise approach. Oh, they definitely have a no compromise approach. Here's Matt Gaetz, one of their buddies. This is the most important primary in the country, says Matt, who led the charge to oust McCarthy and has targeted two other sitting Republicans in their primaries so far this cycle. Bob is our masthead. Bob Good is our leader amongst House conservatives to get us on the same page to ensure that it is people's interests that rise above the special interest. They know that they hate us, but you know what? There are more of us, so claims Matt Gaetz. In an interview on Friday, McGuire, a former Navy SEAL, you think they would? Well, anyways, said Good's conduct is embarrassing and that the congressman's name-calling of fellow Republicans is so childish. I believe that my opponent wants to burn it all down. So no solutions kind of guy, McGuire said. And I think that we need leaders that want to grow the party and unite our country. McGuire added, if you're helping the Democratic team take out the Republican team, who's the rhino? Now, Good, 58, who won his first race in 2020 by knocking off a moderate GOP incumbent, Denver Riggleman, is one of four Republicans who are being targeted by members from within their own conference. In other cases, it's far-right Republicans maneuvering to take out colleagues they view as insufficiently conservative. And now it's the center-right striking back. Is that what Van Orden is, center-right? I don't believe it. Including allies of McCarthy and the new GOP outside group beginning to attack Good as well. Asked if Good's vote to oust McCarthy prompted the House GOP effort to defeat him, Georgia Rep. Austin Scott said, "It has something to do with that, but more important than that, I think we got a guy who would be a good member of our team," referring to McGuire. And McGuire said he's not been recruited by McCarthy, but told CNN that he had spoken recently with the former speaker and called him a nice guy, noting that McCarthy filled him in on what's going on in Congress. In the interview, he made clear he would have voted to keep McCarthy as speaker. "I would have never in a million years partnered with the other party to take out our leader," McGuire said. "I mean, I'd imagine if you were Nancy Pelosi, she probably said, let me get this straight. You want to partner with us to take out your best leader who has the most leverage and the most institutional knowledge with no plan?" Yeah, I guess so. So anyways, Derek Van Orden taking out Bob Good. Only no one's ever heard of Derek Van Orden in Bob Good's district, and they're wondering, why is he wandering into this intra-party fight? Why indeed? Because he just can't resist. He loves a good fight. And, you know, several beers in the morning. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. Hope you're listening. Hope you're willing to play along. 844-967-2789. Your call's welcome. I've also got some news of Eric Hudby and Tammy Baldwin. They're running contrasting senatorial campaigns. Oh, and there's more. Dom joins at 4. Democratic Party Chair, great state of Wisconsin, Ben Wickler, expected to join us in the 5 o'clock happy hour. And again, the text line. Use the Civic Media app or the 844-96-PARTY line.
The Devil's Advocates, rock and roll political commentary in a top 40 world.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday edition. A lot of stuff going on tomorrow. Election day. We've got opening day. And we've got Trump coming to the great state of Wisconsin, Green Bay. I think our buddy Pete Schwab drew the short straw. I think Pete's going to the Trump rally. Lucky for Pete, or us, as the case may be, because we will not be there. We may, depending on the timing of the former president's speech, we may do our best Mystery Science Theater 3000 and, you know, just sort of trash it in real time. In the 5 o'clock happy hour. You know, and if you don't think that that's good entertainment, you've never heard us trash a former president's speech at Mystery Science Theater 3000 style. Started doing that with Scott Walker once upon a time, and it sort of caught on. You know, the wankers out in the news got politifacted. A mostly true, although... Anyways, maybe we'll come back to Wanker in a bit. Did want to talk about the U.S. Senate race, Baldwin versus Hudby. And right now, those are the only two substantial candidates in the race. Some other Republican looking at you, Sheriff David A. Clark Jr., as a possibility. You know, that'd liven things up. Still could be a primary, but we're assuming it's a mano a mano, Baldwin versus Hudby, and they're using drastically different strategies to win votes. Well, Tammy doesn't have a porn stash, but anyways, as Wisconsin's U.S. Senate race, urbanmilwaukee.com, my source, and this originally published at the Wisconsin Public Radio, Rich Kremer reporting. As Wisconsin's U.S. Senate race gets into full swing, Democratic incumbent Tammy Baldwin and Republican challenger Eric Hudby are taking decidedly different approaches to win over voters. Similar to Dom and I, did I mention Dom will be along a little bit later, about 25 minutes. As she vies for a third term, Baldwin is framing Democratic legislative victories through a hyper-local lens, while Hudvey is helping to gain traction with national issues like border security, inflation, and a focus on the unpopular president. On Wednesday, during one of the 19 stops on her Dairyland tour of Wisconsin, Tammy Baldwin in Dairyland, I like that, Tammy, Baldwin told fellow Democrats in Fort Atkinson that the stakes for the November election couldn't be higher. Baldwin told her audience it's not an exaggeration to say that control of the White House, U.S. Senate, and U.S. House of Representatives could be decided right here in the state of Wisconsin. No pressure, no pressure, said Tammy. Now, Baldwin talked about being in Congress and sponsoring an amendment to the Affordable Care Act, which allows children to stay on their parents' health insurance plans to the age of 26. I got two boys right now on my health insurance plan through what you would call the Obamacare exchanges, the ACA exchange. So my sons are currently beneficiaries. My daughter stayed on our plan until she aged out. But anyways, Tammy Baldwin, in part through her congressional amendment, helped make that law. And I have to tell you, here's a quote of Baldwin. I love going into college campuses and saying, all right, raise your hand if you're on your parents' health insurance, and watching almost every hand go up. Baldwin talked about being in Congress and sponsoring an amendment to the Affordable Care Act, which allows children to stay on their parents' health insurance until the age of 26. And throughout the rest of her speech, Baldwin framed other legislative wins for national Democrats using stories aimed at driving home the impact of bills passed in Washington, D.C. on the lives of Wisconsin residents. Now, Tammy has been a very successful campaigner. If you'll recall, she far outperformed Governor Tony Evers winning re-election 6 years ago. I mean, far outperformed. She got a lot of Scott Walker voters, which is shocking to me, but Tammy did. She got a bunch of ticket splitters, like 100,000 voted for Walker and then voted for Tammy Baldwin. And when talking about the 2021 infrastructure investment, again, we're referencing Baldwin at this point. When talking about the 2021 Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, Baldwin touted its Buy America policies, with the story claiming a supporter of former President Donald Trump told her in his Neenah foundry job would be in jeopardy without them. University of Wisconsin political science professor Anthony Chergosky told WPR it's a familiar tactic with Baldwin. Here's what he said. The local style of politics has, in many ways, gone out of fashion nowadays, as local issues seem to not be as much of a priority compared to the national issues. But Baldwin, I think, is very, very strategic in how she focuses on local issues and tries to emphasize the particular policy achievements of the Senate for various communities in Wisconsin. Well, that's Tammy's plan. Wonder what the other guy's doing. Republican Eric Hudvey is focusing on national issues to solidify his GOP support. When businessman Eric Hudvey officially announced his entrance to the Wisconsin Senate race February 20, he framed his campaign with national issues like economy, inflation, crime, and the southern border. And during a campaign event at the Madison office building Hudvey and his brother developed, he told Republicans gathered that the American dream has been in decline, particularly during President Joe Biden's 3 years in office. Economically, we've racked up more debt in the last 3.5 years than our country's first 230 years, Hovey said. He said interest cost on the nation's debt has become one of the biggest expenses for the federal government. As a result, Hovey said, our middle and working class and our elderly who lived on fixed incomes are getting hammered. As for the U.S. border with Mexico, Hudvey claimed between 9 and 12 million immigrants have crossed into America illegally during Biden's tenure. We don't have the housing, nor the medical services and infrastructure to care for our own citizens, much less 9 to 12 million, Hudvey said. That's basically double Wisconsin in 3 years. Now, Chergosky said he's not surprised by the strategy from Hudvey. He said public opinion surveys show Republican voters are becoming more concerned about those national issues. And so I think Hudvey's strategy is to try and connect Baldwin with a fairly unpopular president in Joe Biden, and also some of the national political issues that are problematic for the Biden administration and the Democratic Party, most notably the situation at the border. One big question remains, Chergosky said. How much does Eric Hudvey need to align himself with the MAGA Trump base? I don't know. Does he want to win? And how much traction can he gain in suburban counties near Milwaukee and Wisconsin's Fox Valley, where Republicans like former Governor Scotty Wanker, Walker, I mean, and former House Speaker Paul Ryan once dominated? Chergosky said the potential Republican primary challenge to Hudvey could be a game changer in that regard. If there's a competitive primary in this Republican field for U.S. Senate, then it would absolutely become a race to demonstrate devotion to Donald Trump and his brand of politics. Again, I'm looking for you, David A. Clark Jr. You're that guy. Loyalist primary. The primary for the Senate race will be held August 18th. But for now, Hudvey is the only Republican candidate, and the GOP primary could still happen, though Franklin businessman Scott Mayer announced March 19th that he won't be entering the race. There's his name. Former Milwaukee County Sheriff and Trump loyalist David A. Clark Jr. has been considering a run and teased big announcement this week, which turned out to be a sales pitch for Badge of Honor Caribbean Cruise. Are you kidding me, Clark? Serious, Clark? Your big announcement is you're hawking cruises? Anyways, a little bit more on the current Senate race. The mudslinging in Wisconsin's U.S. Senate race began almost immediately. In his February announcement and subsequent political ads, Hudvey has painted Baldwin as a career politician who has supported Biden's policies 95.5% of the time while being beholden to national special interest groups. In turn, Baldwin and Democratic allies have been busy painting Hudvey as an out-of-touch millionaire who spends more time in California as CEO of SunWest Bank than he does in Wisconsin. And while Democrats attempt to use Hudvey's wealth as a cudgel during the election, Chergosky said being able to self-fund his Senate campaign while claiming he can't be bought may appeal to some voters. It's really hard to raise money starting from scratch in a U.S. Senate race, so it's a massive advantage for him if he doesn't have to do that now. However, Chergosky said, Hudvey's wealth could come at a cost if Republican donors are less likely to pitch in to his campaign as a result. And I said this to CNN earlier today, and I think I was prescient with the statement. My statement, different from this, but I'll read the headline. Abortion is still on the ballot in Wisconsin. Yes, it absolutely is. As it has been in every major election since the U.S. Supreme Court overturned federal abortion protections in 2022, abortion access is likely to be a major theme in the Baldwin-Hudvey matchup. During her visit to Fort Atkinson, Baldwin focused on conservative Justice Clarence Thomas, questioning whether other landmark decisions of the past on issues like contraception and same-sex marriage should be revisited by the current court. She said it was all part of a movement of individuals she described as extremist, working to take away our rights and our freedoms. And Baldwin touted the Respect for Marriage Act, enacted in December of 22, as an example of how Democrats can stand up to the extremist and win. It solidifies same-sex marriage rights and even drew the support of 12 Republican senators. Still, if the U.S. Supreme Court were to overturn a 2015 ruling that found same-sex marriage as constitutionally protected, the issue would go back to being decided by individual states. Hudvey has been notably quiet about abortion issues during campaign speeches and ads during his latest Senate run, but when he competed against former Republican Governor Tommy Thompson in the 2012 GOP Senate primary, he said he was totally opposed to abortion and 100% pro-life. Hudvey's campaign spokesperson, Ben Vogel, has told reporters his position has changed and that Republicans and the Republican now supports exceptions in cases of rape, incest, and to protect the life of the mother. I'm glad he's come around on those small exceptions. Hudvey has also said the people of Wisconsin should decide the abortion question, which is reminiscent of Republican U.S. Senator Ron Johnson's pitch for a non-binding statewide referendum that would ask residents to decide at what point does society have the responsibility to protect life of an unborn child, which is sort of a push-pull in its writing of the question. I think the people of the state of Wisconsin, through the what, the election of Janet Protasiewicz. I think that gave you some indication of what Wisconsin's electorate wants. And that was a way bluer race than anything I've seen in the state of Wisconsin. That, of course, the spring of 2023. Now, tomorrow is the spring of 2024 election day, but no Supreme Court races on this year's ballot. But next year, the good Bradley, Ann Walsh Bradley, defends her seat against Brad Schimmel. And the year after that, the bad Bradley's on the ballot. Spring elections will count more in the next couple of years. Anyways, is Wisconsin's Senate race a top priority for Republicans and Democrats? And while both major parties are clearly invested in the outcome of the race, Chergowski said it doesn't appear to be at the top of the list of seats national Republicans are hoping to flip because they can do math and they know Tammy's nearly unbeatable. He said, again, the political scientist said, Republicans are focusing more on Senate seats in states like Montana and Ohio. Chergowski said Democrats appear to be trying to make Republican seats in states like Texas and Florida more competitive for their party. Early polling shows Baldwin ahead of Hudvey, though the gap has closed slightly. Chergowski said those polls don't mean much at this point, and none of that implies it's going to be a cakewalk for Tammy Baldwin. Certainly, Democrats have to win Wisconsin if they have any hopes of maintaining their majority in the U.S. Senate. But then Democrats have to go beyond winning Wisconsin and win states like Arizona, Montana, and Ohio. For Republicans, Wisconsin would not be a decisive state if they ended up winning majority control of the Senate. I like Tammy's chances. The unbeatable Tammy Baldwin. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. You can't beat us in the afternoons, not between 3 and 6. You can join us, though. Dial 844-967-2789. Dom joining about 4 o'clock. And Democratic Party of Wisconsin chairperson Ben Wickler joining in the 5 o'clock happy hour. It's going to be a happy show indeed. Easter Monday. Is that a thing? We'll find out. 844-967-2789.
The Devil's Advocates. Radio for nasty women everywhere.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Monday edition, the Easter Monday edition. Hope you all had a nice weekend. You can share. I did not eat ham. Although, truth be known, I did eat pork on Easter. Pork loin, you know, for those that were wondering what Crudy had for Easter dinner. I made pork loin. Not ham, though. Not a big fan of the ham. They're completely different things. Trust me. Trust me. Scotty Wanker. You know, he doesn't get bashed enough these days. And I thought, let's take this opportunity. Because Scott Walker's out there cherry picking. And the folks at PolitiFact Wisconsin took a little swing at a statement made by the Wankinator. Here's what Walker said. We just had a 100% increase in layoffs. Now, jobs continue to be a major talking point during the election cycle, and there are many ways to measure the current state of joblessness in Wisconsin. During a March 3rd, 2024 appearance on the CNN, former Republican Governor Scotty Wanker, Walker, cited one of them, layoffs. So, talking about cherry picking, remember when this guy bragged he was going to create 250,000 jobs? Made it sort of a pledge, sort of a central pledge. In over 8 years, he was supposed to achieve that in the 4 years. But over 8 years, his trickle-down tax cut policies never came close to generating 250,000 jobs. Now, under the Evers administration, remember you lost the Evers Wanker? We've got the lowest unemployment rate in Wisconsin's history. We've got the most working adults in Wisconsin's history. And I'm not trying to delineate or split an infinitive. We just got more people working in this state than we ever had. You should be envious, Walker. You should hide under your rock. You should go and lead your Young Adolphs Foundation or whatever. Young adults. I don't know what they're called. Young Adolphs. Anyways. Back to the Wanker cherry picking. So, when asked how people in Wisconsin are feeling about the presidential election, Walker declared, we just had a 100% increase in layoffs. Well, that's what Wanker claims. And how do we know he makes the claim? Well, he self-tweets it out. If election is a referendum on high prices and the economy, border security, and public safety, and Joe Biden loses, Wisconsin had more than 100% increase in layoffs and wages haven't caught up with prices. Don't tell us Bidenomics is working because it's not. What a strong statement, Wanker. At this point in the year, we were 2 months into 2024. Had there really been a 100% increase in layoffs? Well, let's see. Although he was unclear on what time frame he was talking about, Wanker's staff told us he was comparing the first 2 months of last year to this year. And it's easy to check that by reviewing the worker adjustment and retaining notification notices for January and February. In January of 2023, there were roughly 850 people laid off in Wisconsin. In February, 288 were laid off. That's 1,140 workers fired so far this year. Again, we have record unemployment, but Wanker's cherry-picking the, 100% increase. Meanwhile, in January of this year, 1,794 people laid off, 1,112 in February. That's 2,906. So, yes, the number of people laid off in the first 2 months, year over year, has doubled or more in the state of Wisconsin, which means what? When we reached out to Wanker staff for more evidence that shared an article from WKOW on February 3rd stating layoffs are up 109% in January, and clearly that trend continued in February. So what are other job indicators showing, just in case Wanker's cherry picking? On the layoff front, the first 2 months of 2024 have been rough, but at the outset, we noted there are other measures of the economy in general and joblessness in particular. For instance, Wisconsin's unemployment rate has been at or below 3% for the last 12 months, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Nationwide, the unemployment rate is closer to 4%. According to the most recent data in 2023, Wisconsin had more than 3 million people working. That's a record high. And so far, that trend is continuing as the State Department of Workforce Development reported in February that non-farm jobs increased by 22,400 in a month. That's a huge number, Walker. 22,400, you'd have been talking and crowing about that still if you ever had a month of job creation in your tenure that resembled 22,400. Now, at the time Wanker made the statement in January, the department reported the state in December hit a record number of jobs for the second straight month, topping 3 million. That information was available to him at the time of the statement. So it's almost like he ignored all the good news. Also at the time of the statement, Wisconsin's unemployment rate was 3.3 in December, below the national average of 3.7. In Wisconsin, the labor force participation rate is 65.7%, which is higher than the national average by almost over 3%. And there is data that suggests Wisconsin's job situation is in good shape. But Walker cherry-picked one data point to make his point. Isn't that how he always did it? We talked about his failure to want to legalize marijuana. Well, because I spoke with Dave Mahoney, a Democratic sheriff, and he said, don't do it, Scott. And he's used that as his one data point forevermore, right? Not to legalize marijuana. Well, he's no longer capable of doing much of anything except getting PolitiFacted at this point. So, according to PolitiFact, Wanker said on the CNN on March 3rd that Wisconsin had 100% increase in layoffs. And the number is accurate comparing January and February of this year to the same months last year. But Wanker, ignores other data points on jobs, such as the low unemployment rate, the high labor force participation rate, our definition of mostly true, and this one seems like a stretch, mostly true is a statement that is accurate but needs clarification or additional information. That fits here. Man, that is a stretch. I got PolitiFacted by the same group once. I made the statement back in, I believe, 2017. I'd hate to be less than fully truthful, but I said Bernie Sanders was the most popular politician in America at that time. And they said mostly true because there was some poll somewhere that said Barack Obama was 1% more popular? Now, that's mostly true. That's everything's true except for one anomaly poll we found. But this is not mostly true. This is Scott Walker using a data point to try and tell a lie about the accurate situation of the jobs here in the state of Wisconsin. Wanker. Once a liar, always a liar. You're a big fat welder. Those that have been listening since the beginning, you know what that means. It also means Scott Walker is a big fat liar. Dom joins next. I tell you no lies. A happy hour, and then Ben Wickler at 5:00.